Hi, welcome back to Joe Blogs. In this episode, I want to talk about China and China's economy. We've now got the statistics for August for exports and imports, and what we've seen is a significant fall in momentum. So the numbers have come in significantly below expectations, and we're starting to see a major slowdown in China's economy. So in today's episode, I want to go through some data. We'll have a look at some detail. So we'll look at what's going on with exports. We'll look at what's happened to imports. We'll talk about the balance of trade. I'll then look at what's been happening with regards to GDP, what's happening with regards to debt levels, the manufacturing index, and then we'll talk about lockdowns. Because one of the problems that China's facing right now is that the government is still operating a zero tolerance policy with regards to COVID-19. So as the rest of the world is moving away from the COVID pandemics and lockdowns and all of the associated problems, China is still very much focused on all of those issues. And it's causing major problems. At the moment, it's reported that over 300 million people in China are currently affected by some form of lockdown. When you think about that in real terms, that's almost the population of the USA. All those people are still in a lockdown scenario. So obviously that's having an impact on the economy. They've also got one of the worst heat waves that they've had in a very long time, which is causing problems with regards to power production because the hydroelectric power stations are not operating efficiently. And then we've got the problem with regards to the general slowdown in the global economy. China is the powerhouse for the global economy. It's the manufacturing base. A lot of China's goods are exported and sold all around the world. So obviously, if we're seeing slowdowns in the global economy, there's going to be a reduction in demand. And that's going to hurt the Chinese economy because it's based on year-on-year constant growth. So if the world does go into a recession, it's going to impact on China directly. So this video today is really a catch-up on all of the economic indicators in China. We'll look at the data and get the facts as to what's actually going on. And then finally today, I'll wrap up with my summary as to what I think is likely to happen in China over the next 3 to 6 months and what the impact of that will be on the global economy. So before we get started on all of that, as usual, I'm going to ask you for a thumbs up at some point during this video. Please subscribe if you haven't done so already. I'm trying to get to 1 million subscribers. It's obviously going to take me a lifetime to get there, but I'll be one step closer if you haven't subscribed yet and you hit the subscribe button today. Don't forget, I always include chapters in these videos, so if you haven't got time to watch everything, it's really easy to skip through things. And if you'd like to support the channel, please have a look below where you'll find links to YouTube's membership and super thanks, as well as Buy Me a Coffee and Patreon. Chinese exports rose 7.1% in August, which at face value you would consider is a very good result. However, this compares to growth of 18% in July. So we're looking at almost an 11% fall month on month. And the reduction in exports is the first that's been seen from China since April. And most concerningly of all, the figure of 7.1% compares to market expectations of 12.8%. So the market was expecting the growth to be almost double the actual result that China has delivered. This table shows the growth in Chinese exports over the last 5 years. And you can see that there is a distinct pattern to each year. In each year, there's a significant drop in exports at the start of the calendar year, which ties in with the Chinese New Year celebrations, when a lot of the factories close down entirely for a number of weeks. Thereafter, we have a big upswing, and there is generally then a gradual increase throughout the whole of the year, and then we have the big downturn again when we get to the following year's shutdown. If we look at the period from the start of 2020 to the latest set of figures, you can see that in 2020, there was a period of strong growth followed by the annual dip. In 2021, we had exactly the same pattern. But the big concern that everybody has right now is what's happening in 2022. This graph includes the data for August. So August should be a period where we see continued growth through to the end of December, and then we would see a significant dip. But if you look at what's happened in August, we're already starting to see a significant dip. So this is entirely unexpected and is out of kilter with what's been happening with China in every year over the last 5 years. So that's why there is major concern right now. Because at this point in the calendar year, we should be seeing either continued growth or a slight levelling off. We should not be seeing a major downturn. And the worry is that if this continues through into September and October, then the forecast growth in GDP of around 3% for China in 2022 will not be achieved. And there are a number of factors that are affecting these exports right now. As I mentioned at the start of the video, the global slowdown is having a big impact on China. In the same way as we've talked about in oil, China is geared up to produce massive volumes of products. So it needs those markets to keep taking those products in order to keep feeding the machine. If there's a slowdown in demand, so the rest of the world doesn't want to buy that quantity of product, it's going to cause a major problem for China because they've geared up all the factories, they've got all the employees, they're buying in all of the materials. They need to keep producing massive volumes of products. So if there's a slowdown, then that's going to hurt the Chinese economy disproportionately because they've got all of the fixed costs in place. And if they can't sell those products at the expected prices, then the revenues will fall and that will have a huge hit on the Chinese economy. Chinese imports rose by just 0.3% in August, which compares to the 2.3% rise that was seen in July and is significantly below the forecast level of 1.1% that the market was expecting. Now, you may be wondering why the level of Chinese imports is important, because China is predominantly an exporter. But China does import a lot of raw materials. So it's importing product raw materials and it's importing energy raw materials in order to keep its manufacturing base moving. So if there's a slowdown in imports, that gives us an indication that there's going to be a slowdown in exports further down the line. Because obviously you need to import all the raw materials before you can manufacture them and then export them. So there is a lag between the volume of imports and the volume of exports. So if we're seeing a significant slowdown in imports, then that gives us the heads up that it's likely to start impacting on exports. And we've already talked about exports slowing down in August already. But now there's an unexpected reduction in imports, it's likely to accelerate the slowdown in exports. Now, we'll come on to talk about the Chinese yuan currency in a moment. But one of the issues that China is facing is that the yuan has been deteriorating in value, which means that the cost of any imports in dollars is rising. So that's causing an increase in input prices for China at a time when there is high levels of inflation all around the world and weakening demand. So as a manufacturer, what you don't want to do is have to increase your prices at a time when a lot of countries are already struggling with high inflation and demand is starting to flatten off. The other major factor that's affecting the volume of imports for China right now is the severe lockdowns that are continuing to go on. As I mentioned at the start of the video, over 300 million people are currently in some form of lockdown. So that means that those factories are not able to produce any of the goods, so they can't operate. So that is reducing the demand for raw materials and for energy because those operations are not functioning right now. And that, of course, will have a knock-on impact to the volume of exports. So there's a problem with regards to general demand in the globe, but there's also starting to be a problem in China with actual productivity caused by the COVID lockdown. So we all thought that we'd got away from the COVID pandemic, that it was no longer newsworthy, nobody needed to talk about it. But actually, because China has this zero tolerance policy, it's still impacting on all of their industries. And that, of course, will then have a big impact on the Chinese economy. The final factor that's worth mentioning is that China has been experiencing extreme heat waves. And that's caused a reduction in the production of electricity from hydroelectrics. And that means that they've had to import more coal. So the figures we've just talked about actually include an increase in coal imports because China needs to import more coal to use it to produce electricity to offset the fall in hydro. So if you remove the spike from the imports of coal, the situation is actually significantly worse. Now, the balance of trade is a really important metric for any country. It measures the difference between what you're receiving in terms of cash payments, and what you're paying out. And China is a net exporter. It's producing lots of goods for the rest of the world, and it has a positive balance of trade. It's being paid more than it pays out. But the important thing to look at from China's perspective is what's happening with regards to the trend in the balance of trade. This chart shows the movements in the balance of trade over the last 12 months. And you can see that in August, the balance of trade has fallen significantly to around $79 billion. And this compares to $101 billion in July. So that represents a fall of almost $22 billion in the month. And once again, this result has surprised the market. Everybody was expecting the balance of trade to be significantly higher, predominantly because of what we've just talked about with regards to exports and imports. The market was expecting China to have exported more goods, therefore it would have received more revenue and would have been in a more positive position. This chart shows the movements in the balance of trade over the last 5 years. And if we ignore the massive dip that was seen in 2020, which was a direct result of the global COVID-19 pandemic, you can see that there is a regular pattern to the movement in the balance of trade. At the start of the year, when the Chinese manufacturing industry goes into shutdown, there is a dip in the balance of trade, and then we see a consistent growth over the course of the year, and then as we get to the year end, there is another dip. However, if we look at what's happened in 2022 to date, you can see that there has been a significant increase in the first half of 2022, but we have now seen a major downturn in August. And the concern is that this downturn should not be happening right now. China should be carrying on with a healthy balance of trade, and when it gets to the year end, then they will see a downturn. The fact that this downturn has come in August is causing major concerns, particularly when you take into account the outlook for global trade and global demand. If we're going into a global recession, that will reduce the demand for Chinese products and therefore will reduce the amount of exports and therefore will reduce the balance of trade. So there's a real possibility here that we could see this balance of trade figure continuing to come down over the course of the next few months and significantly dent the cash reserves of China. This chart shows the movement in the Chinese yuan against the US dollar over the last 6 months. And the reason that I wanted to look at the exchange rate against the dollar is that the USA represents the single largest export market for China. In 2021, around 18% of all exports went to the USA. But it's also important because the dollar is an international currency and it's a benchmark for a lot of contracts. So what this chart shows is that back in March, one US dollar equated to around 6.4 Chinese yuan. You can see that the rate has deteriorated significantly, and it's now trading at around 7 yuan to one US dollar. So China is a net exporter. That is the heart of the Chinese economy. So if we think about the impact of the movement in the currency on the revenues for China, if the cost of producing an item is 6.4 yuan, that's the export cost. Back in March, if China was exporting that product to USA, then it would cost one US dollar. The rate is now trading at around 7 yuan to one US dollar. So a production cost of 6.4 yuan would mean that that product would now be selling on US shelves for less than a dollar. So from a revenue point of view, selling that product for 6.4 yuan into the US means that the Chinese firms are now receiving less than $1 for the same item. So for the same level of trade, they'll be receiving less in currency terms than they were this time 6 months ago. So a weakening of the yuan is actually bad news when you're a net exporter. Now, obviously, the devil's in the detail, and what the actual terms and conditions for each of those trades are will depend on what those contracts state. Now, one of the most concerning set of statistics coming out of China right now are the gross domestic product figures. Now, each country releases its GDP in a different format and at different times, and China releases its quarterly figures to the market. So the last figures that we have right now are actually for June 22. We're waiting for the next quarter, which finishes at the end of September. And this chart shows the movement in quarterly GDP over the last 3 years. And you can see that in the most recent quarter, gross domestic product fell by 2.6% in China. And this was the first fall that's been seen since the COVID pandemic period. And this is obviously unexpected for a country that has grown rapidly and is forecast to become the largest economy in the world at some point over the next 3 years. But it's not just the June figures that are causing concern. When you look at the trend, China has been struggling with GDP for a long period of time. Each of the last 5 quarters has seen a very low level of GDP growth. And this is not what's expected for a country that is due to become the largest in the world economically. And the result for the 3 months ended in June 22 was obviously before we've gone into a global recession. So this was at a time when the globe was still doing okay. But we have had a big impact from the Ukraine war. As you'll know following the channel, following Russia's invasion of Ukraine, we saw a huge increase in oil prices and gas prices and food prices and other commodities. And China is a big importer of a lot of those products. And so it has suffered the impact of those price increases. Nobody has been immune to what's happened in Ukraine. But even taking that into account, the figures here are very concerning. They're very shocking. And I think as we go forward, if we see another quarter of falling GDP in China, then we are seriously looking at a major economic downturn occurring in China. The generally accepted definition of a recession is when we have two consecutive quarters of falling GDP. And 2.6% fall in GDP in June is a significant fall. The UK is currently talking about a recession, but it's seen 0.1% fall in GDP, so a flatlining. 2.6% fall is significant and material. And if we see a similar set of numbers coming through for the end of September, then China will officially be in recession. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll know that prior to Russia's invasion of Ukraine, I posted a lot of videos talking about the debt levels in China. The property developer Evergrande is the most indebted company in the world. It has over $300 billion worth of debt. And there are a lot of other property developers who have huge amounts of debt also. And that whole sector is really putting a lot of pressure on the Chinese economy. Because it's been driving growth over the last 10 years, they've been building huge cities and employing millions of people. And there's been a lot of investment and a lot of people have been buying property. And it was seen as a no-lose gamble at one point. But the tide has turned and everything has started to go sour. And one of the reasons that that happened was that the Chinese authorities brought in the three red lines, which was meant to bring back all of the property developers into line. But all that it did is put most of them into default and meant that they couldn't access any more capital and caused mass falling confidence in the property sector in China. So it's a complete mess right now. And I wanted to talk right now about the debt levels in China, but I don't want to talk about individual companies or the sectors. I want to talk about government debt. So the amount of borrowing that the Chinese authorities have built up. And this is a really interesting set of stats to look at because China is a net exporter. It has a positive balance of trade. So when you think about it in those terms, it should be building up large amounts of cash. And therefore, it shouldn't really need to be building up huge amounts of debt because it should be able to fund all of its investment and growth from the cash that it's generating. Now, this table shows the amount of government debt as a percentage of gross domestic product. And as we discussed previously, you would have expected China's GDP to be increasing, and therefore the percentage of debt to GDP should either be staying level or falling. But as you can see from this chart, there has been a significant increase in government debt to GDP in every year over the last 10 years. And in 2020, there was a significant movement. Now, we don't have the figures for 2021. They've not been released. But it's extremely likely that there has been a continued increase in the amount of government debt. If you've been following the channel, you'll know that I posted a video a while ago talking about the potential secret debt bomb that exists in China because a lot of local authorities have been borrowing heavily and they are now potentially all going to go bust. So what we're seeing in China is a massive increase in government debt at a time when GDP is now faltering. So it's very likely that the government debt to GDP levels are significantly higher than 66%. Given the big increases in debt and the fall in GDP, there is a possibility that in China right now, the percentage debt to GDP could be above 100%. Manufacturing is the main driver of China's economy. And the Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index is an index that's used globally to see whether or not manufacturing is growing or contracting. And this chart shows the movements in Chinese manufacturing PMI over the last 12 months. And the key metric here is whether the bar is above 50% or below 50%. If it's above 50%, then the industry is growing. If it's below 50%, then the industry is declining. And what this table shows is that in the 8 months of 2022 through to the end of August, the PMI index was below 50% in 5 out of the 8 months. Now, for the number one manufacturing country in the world, you would have expected this index to be significantly above 50%. The fact that it's below 50% means that we're seeing a decline in manufacturing. And for a country such as China, which is entirely dependent on manufacturing, this is a major concern. And it's particularly concerning because the index has been significantly below 50% on a number of occasions. In March and May, it was down to around 48%, and in April, it had dropped to 46%. So what we're seeing here is continued weakness in the sector, and this is one of the reasons why there are major concerns as to what is going to happen for China over the course of the next 3 to 6 months. Because if manufacturing does go into decline and we see a significant movement in these figures, if we're down to 45 or 40%, then that will have a huge impact on the Chinese economy. So as I mentioned at the start of the video, the Chinese authorities are still pursuing a zero tolerance policy with regards to COVID lockdowns. So what that means is that if they find one case, one isolated case, they are locking down whole cities. So millions of people are being told to stay home. They can't go to work. They can't do anything. They can't leave their apartments until all of the cases have been eradicated. And obviously, when you've got a population of 1.4 billion, some of these cities are absolutely enormous. And the lockdowns are being enforced by the military and they are taken very seriously. So nobody is breaching any of these rules. And as it sits right now, over 300 million people in China are currently affected by some form of lockdown. And as I said at the start of the video, that equates to around about the population of the USA. The USA population is about 323 million. So it's pretty close to being all of the people in America being told, stay at home, don't do anything. So you can imagine what the impact of that is on the economy. You've got 300 million people who are entirely unproductive. All those factories have closed down. Those people are not doing anything. So that is going to have a knock-on impact to exports over the next few months, because it will take time to get those factories up and running. They'll need to make more purchases. They'll have a backlog of orders. They'll have production problems when you switch off all of your machinery and shut everything down. It generally causes issues. So there is going to be some more problems further down the road. And the problem that China has is that they're still sticking with this policy. So if we get a number of cases popping up all over China, theoretically, the whole of China could go back into lockdown if enough cases came in all of the different cities. And that, of course, would be disastrous for the Chinese economy. It wouldn't be good news for the global economy because we are dependent on China producing massive amounts of product, but it would be entirely disastrous for China. So part of the issue that China is facing right now is because of the wider environment. We're seeing a slowdown in global demand, and that's impacting on the amount of demand for Chinese products. But partly it's self-inflicted. Because the government is taking this zero tolerance approach, it's causing them major problems. And until China drop that policy, they're going to continue having problems for the rest of 2022 and potentially all the way through 2023 as well. So what's the summary and conclusion today? Well, I wanted to post this video because China is the second largest economy in the world at the moment, and it's forecast to overtake the USA at some point over the next few years. And the economy of China is entirely dependent on manufacturing. They've got the lowest cost labor force in the world. They've also got a lot of people, and they've set up huge factories. So it's the manufacturing heartland for everybody today, and it's a bellwether of what's going on globally. Now, if you follow the channel, you'll be perfectly aware that we are now on the verge of a global recession. We've got really high rates of inflation all across the world. We've got rising interest rates in many economies, and it's forecast that we're going to go into a major slowdown. And of course, a major slowdown globally is going to impact on the biggest manufacturer because demand will start to fall, and therefore China won't be able to sell as much product. And the problem that China has is that everything is set up to continue growing year on year. They've got all of their workforce lined up, they've got all of this manufacturing lined up, and if there is a slowdown, it's going to cause major problems. But what I'm talking about today isn't related to that slowdown. The things that we've been through in this video show that there are fundamental problems in the Chinese economy right now. The lockdown policy that's been followed by the Chinese authorities since 2020 is causing the economy major problems. Because when you're locking down whole cities of 20 or 30 million people, then that means that all the manufacturing, all the productivity in those areas grinds to a halt. And that's going to cause major problems because that means you're not earning the revenue from those exports. The people aren't being paid, or if they are being paid, the companies who are paying them are having to make losses in order to do that because they haven't got the revenue to pay people. So it's causing them major problems. And on top of that, we've also got the impact of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. And as I'm sure you're all fully aware by now, the price of oil and gas and a lot of commodities has risen dramatically over the course of the last 6 months as a direct result of that invasion. And that's caused a massive increase in input prices. So energy costs feed through into the price of everything. And this is putting pressure on all countries, but particularly on China, because they're basing their whole economy on a low cost of production. So if their costs start to rise, then they need to pass those costs on. And that's one of the reasons why the currency has come under pressure over the last 6 months or so. So what we can see in the figures that we've been through today is that exports are now starting to slow down. They've come in significantly lower than expected for August. Imports are also starting to slow down. And that's bad news for China because as the imports slow down, there'll be a lag effect on future exports, so it's likely to have a multiplier effect. As a result of those two factors, we're starting to see a reduction in the balance of trade. And as we went through in some detail, the GDP in Q2 in China fell by 2.6%. And if we see a further decline in Q3, then China will officially be in recession. And added to all of those factors, China has also got an increasing debt burden. So we've got a combination of a variety of factors here that are all pointing to major problems for China over the next 3 to 6 months. And then when you add in on top of that, the global slowdown, so a reduction in demand all across the world, then that's likely to put further pressure on the Chinese economy. So the overall summary here today is that there are dark clouds gathering over China right now. And it's likely that we're going to see the country go into a recession in the short term. And that recession could get really deep and really hard if the rest of the world goes into a recession at the same time. Now, as I mentioned earlier, I haven't even started talking about what's going on with regards to the Chinese property developers. The Chinese economy has been fueled over the last 10 years or so by a massive growth in real estate. Huge companies have been building massive amounts of property and selling that property to Chinese individuals. It's been seen as a no-risk gamble. You can buy property, it goes up in value, everyone's a winner. Unfortunately, that model has now reversed. The market has started to soften and a lot of confidence has disappeared from Chinese buyers. And we're seeing those big property developers now starting to creak and groan and default on their debt. And it's likely that we could see a variety of them either going under or being nationalized. We've already started to see that process. It's likely to continue. Now, the problem that you've got with nationalization is that the government needs to have enough money to be able to fund all of those projects and build them out to make sure that the people who've paid in advance for those apartments actually can take delivery. And as the government comes under more pressure and as the economy goes into recession, there's going to be a big question mark as to whether or not the government are able to do that, whether they can bail these companies out, or whether we'll start seeing some of these giant property businesses going bust. And if we do, then that could further accelerate the recession problems in China, and we could be looking at some serious issues over the course of the next 3 to 6 to 9 to 12 months. So hopefully you found today's video useful, informative, and thought-provoking. If you've liked what I've said, then please give me a thumbs up. Drop me some comments if you'd like me to go into more detail on some of these issues in the Chinese market, and I'll have a look into that. And if you haven't done so already, then please don't forget to subscribe.